This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Former Auburn defensive back Rob Pate, as we look ahead to Auburn and Kentucky coming up Saturday from Jordan Hare at 11 o'clock. Rob is brought to us every single week by our friends at Craneworks.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it. Craneworks, Craneworks, yeah! The big dog's got it.
Rob Pate on Three Man Front is brought to you by Craneworks. Lift it, buy it, rent it. The big dog's got it. And now, Rob Pate.
And Rob joins us, courtesy of not only Craneworks, but joins us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. Rob, hope you're doing well.
Doing great, guys. Hope you are as well.
We are. It's game week, and you living there in Auburn, and it's got to be a little bit different for you just driving there around campus, and when you do, not seeing the RVs that you typically see starting to set up or move in, and all the number of people coming in to just stay at the hotels.
Well, you know, I think there's more people coming into town than you would even think for as few that that have tickets, and you know, for where we're at, you know, just from a public health standpoint, you know, you would think that the hotel rooms and the restaurants and things like that would be slim pickings, but there's a lot of people that have that will be in town. You know, we've heard a lot of the Airbnb has really done well. A lot of the rental houses are taken up, and I think there'll be a lot of people that will still try to get together and watch some Auburn football at the same time. So I think there's a lot of excitement, and you know, everybody, we're all excited. Every you know, whatever fan base you represent, I mean, I think we're all just ready to see the SEC kick off and just the excitement of even getting to this point. And really you take your hat off to the people there in Birmingham at the SEC office and their willingness to be patient, the universities, the presidents, the board of trustee members that, you know, I think, you know, sort of went anti what some of the other conferences did. And I'm glad that they did so that we're to this point and they get the opportunity to kick off this weekend.
More needed better performance against Kentucky. The Auburn defensive front or the Auburn secondary?
I think the Auburn defensive front, just because I you know, that's going to be Kentucky's wheelhouse, is to try to run the football. And Auburn's got a lot of studs that they have to replace, and they're going to be doing it with some guys that really a lot of people didn't expect to be named starters. Colby Wooden, a freshman that's going to line up at defensive tackle. When they first run out there, was not expected to win that job for most people outside of the program and people inside of the program. You know, that was Daquan Newkirk's job to hang on to. Plus, you go out and you get two junior college tackles. You expect those kids to come in and play. You don't expect them to come in and sit behind the freshmen. So the fact that you're going to have a young guy up there with what is going to be a talented and a cohesive and a group of offensive linemen for Kentucky that have been through a lot of wars, and you know, they're going to get their quarterback returning, so they should be multidimensional. Where we've seen Kentucky in the past kind of operating with one hand tied behind their back, I think Eddie Grant's done a fantastic job as their offensive coordinator, you know, just utilizing what he has to work with and making it work and still being successful, and now he gets to come in with a full complement of people. I just think being able to stop the run is going to be more important, because if you can stop the run, then you're making life dramatically better and easier for a young secondary. If they're able to run the football and they still have the threat to pass it, then you've just exponentially made Kevin Steele's life more difficult, and those guys playing safety as full-time starters for the first time and a group of young corners out there, you've made their life much more difficult. So those guys up front have to play big.
Rob, what are your expectations for Chad Morris's offense this year for Auburn?
I think everybody's really excited about it. I think the biggest thing is just being able to attack the whole football field. You know, when you look at, you know, for instance, let's look at Bo Nix. People talk about Bo Nix's accuracy and his numbers not being quite as good as some of the other guys in this league, and maybe that's why he got snubbed for the all-conference preseason teams. But when you look at the throws that he was asked to make, you know, and look at the competition he had to play, first of all, I mean, that was head and shoulders above just about anybody else in this league. And then, but the throws are always outside the numbers. You know, he never has easy throws to make for the most part. It's, you know, there's not a lot of diversity in the route tree. Most things were outside of the numbers. And, so you had an entire middle portion of the field that never was attacked. And those guys didn't use just simple drag routes, you know, where you try to hit a receiver that can outrun everybody across the field. We never threw to a tight end. And so, those are things that I think that we'll see implemented offensively that will help his numbers shoot up and make defenses defend everything. And so I think there's a lot of excitement for that. And just, you know, just to see what an Auburn offense looks like without Coach Malzahn at the helm with the play calling. And that's going to be unique. We haven't seen that since 2013. And it's just a lot of unknowns until they get out there and actually get it going. So I think that what we've discussed as being potential changes would be big if they actually come to fruition.
Rob Pate joining us courtesy of Craneworks, talking Auburn, Kentucky, and he joins us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. A guy like Anthony Swartz, I know he had the injury early in the season, playing with that cast, and he played for most of the season, but at times it seemed like he was underutilized. How important do you think it is for Chad Morris to implement him in as many ways as possible as finding him the football with that world-class speed?
Yeah, I mean, he's the guy that needs to be touching the ball at least 10 times a game. I mean, you got to find a way to get a guy that runs faster than anyone else out there, in most cases by a pretty good margin. You got to get him the football. And Auburn struggled doing that sometimes. And sometimes that was, you know, he wasn't fully healthy. He had a hand issue at the beginning of last year, had to wear a cast for some games. And then he went down early in the Alabama game. So there were times where I think where the number would have been called and he just wasn't available to have it. You know, he has to be able to withstand contact and be able to stay on the football field and be healthy. But, yeah, I mean, anytime you can put a guy out there that can stretch a defense vertically, you have to respect that. You have to give the proper cushion. And it takes the attention away from other people. I mean, you've got other quality receivers. I mean, that's one place where Auburn is not hurting in their lineup. You've got some really good skill players really littered throughout that Auburn offense, and the receivers are just as good as anyone else's. You've got a big body in Seth Williams. You've got a guy that's been through a lot of wars with Eli Stove, and you've just implemented a freshman class that has really and been impressive. And then you've got a guy like Shedrick Jackson from Hoover High School that is ready to take the next step. So they've got the weapons. They just have to keep him upright. And Bo Nix has to be able to stand in the pocket and trust that offensive line. And he doesn't know if he can because he hasn't even been through a spring training with them. So until the bullets start flying Saturday morning, then you really don't know where you stand with regard to that. But, yeah, getting the ball, distributing, giving some easy passes, throwing to set up the run, you know, giving him some easy throws. I mean, that's just something that hasn't been in the vocabulary of Auburn offense. You know, I think that'll change Saturday.
Rob, Terry Wilson in his three losses as a starter has 4-12 and minus 6 yards rushing. Is there any reason for you to believe, especially with a quarterback that can add something to the ground game, that Kevin Steele just doesn't sell out against the run and basically say, Terry Wilson's going to have to beat me with his arm? That if you're going to get us, that's the way it's going to have to go down.
I think so. I mean, I think that would be my plan going in. You know, I think the only caveat to that is I wonder if Kevin Steele sits there and says, do I really believe that Kentucky can march down this field consistently if I'm in, you know, not base, but if I'm not having to bring more people than they can block? You know, I do think that there's a little bit of a fear factor in that you've got some young guys back there in the secondary that will be playing for the first time again. A guy that wasn't expected to win the corner position in Jalen Simpson. He wins it. He wins it over a guy that came in as a junior college guy. You know, I think he was a number one or two cornerback in junior college. You know, you don't expect those guys to sit behind freshmen. So there were some tremendous efforts that took place in the offseason and here in the preseason that got some guys playing time that a lot of guys just didn't think would happen. But, yeah, I do think that, Auburn behind the Kentucky offensive front, and really, I think Auburn's at a disadvantage on both sides of the line of scrimmage. I think Kentucky just has a – they're just talented on both sides. And I have no idea that they had two guys at nose tackle that were over 350 pounds. One of them is close to 400 pounds. And, you know, when you talk about having to root guys out and the defensive tackle, you know, having to maintain gap integrity, man, that's like trying to move a tree stump. And that's going to be a tough assignment for some young Auburn offensive linemen. But it all comes down every week. I mean, it doesn't matter who anybody's playing. Everybody wants to run the football because everything hinges off of being able to get some movement on the offensive line. And Kentucky has got some guys offensively. I mean, you look at the preseason all-conference team, and they're littered with Kentucky offensive linemen. You look at Auburn defensive front, you don't see many guys up front that are getting recognition because not many guys have played. So, you know, the game's won in the trenches. And Auburn is going to enter a little bit with a lack of experience, and probably, you know, Kentucky probably is just gets the one up and in that department. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge that no other SEC team will have to face this week. But the beauty of that is that Auburn will come out of week one knowing more about its football team than any of the other SEC programs other than Kentucky. You know, they'll know what they can do well. They'll know what they'll have to improve upon. And, you know, they'll benefit from that, I think, here, in the short run because of, they'll face just better competition from the outset.
Rob, outside the Auburn-Kentucky game, obviously, what other interests you in regards to the SEC docket for week one?
I'm really interested to see what LSU looks like just because they've got so many people that they're having to replace, and they've gotten so much preseason love from media, and you know they've recruited so well. So I think the expectation is that they can just plug and play. But man, they got a lot of guys to have to plug for, and you know, so I'm really interested to see what they do, what that offense looks like with a new offensive coordinator, what the defense looks like with a new defensive coordinator. I mean, they just lost a ton, and yet people still have high hopes for where they sit. And then I want to see what Mike Leach looks like at Mississippi State and kind of what they do. You know, is it the Washington State throwing all over the place? And, you know, are they successful at doing that or what? I'm just interested in seeing him on the sidelines in the SEC. So I think those are the two places that I would turn. And of course, you know, at Auburn, we're always interested in what our rivals are doing. And, you know, now they both get the dregs of the SEC, so we won't know much. I think they're both four touchdown favorites in Alabama and Georgia, but you know, still seeing what they look like and kind of what to prepare for in week two and then again in week nine.
Rob, I asked you this question last week: your most memorable opener of a college football season when you were playing at Auburn. What's an opener you'd like to forget from your days at Auburn?
Oh, Cole knows what this is. I mean, it was the 98 season opener, our sophomore year. It was Ben Leard's first start. You know, Virginia came into Auburn and really just took it to us, beat us 19-0. You know, we couldn't get anything going on offense. I think we had two or three centers break their foot in that one game. I know we had a tight end break his arm in that game. You know, offensively, it was just a nightmare, and they were loaded. I mean, they had guys. Patrick Kearney, I think, was on that team defensively. Anthony Poindexter was on that team. They had a linebacker that I think was an All-American. They had you know, a first-round draft pick at running back and Thomas Jones. They had a quarterback that was the Saints quarterback for a long time. So they were really good. I mean, it'd be an atypical Virginia team. But they took us to the woodshed, and ironically, the only SEC team we beat that year was the next week against Ole Miss, and then, you know, 2 months later, Coach Tuberville was our head coach. So how about that for irony?
Cue Leonardo Carson in the team meeting talking to Eddie Grant. I did want to ask you about this. We mentioned this earlier. How weird was it that we had a head coach who was also our defensive coordinator that coached the game from the box?
You talking about with Coach Oliver?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for us, I don't know.
You had it every game, so it wasn't weird for you, but just the fact that he had head coaching duties at that time made it pretty strange.
Yeah, well, I mean, nothing for somebody like Coach Oliver that had been around for so long, nothing was going to get him out of his element as far as he's going to do it his way. You know, and if he's up there, he likes being able to have all of his stuff out laid out in front of him. He's got a he had a guy, Coach Matt Wannabe, that was kind of just Coach Oliver's assistant, and so he was up there with him with binoculars, kind of giving him the you know, who's in the game, who's not in the game, and they were kind of a package deal. So he wasn't going to give that up, and you know, he still loved off or what he was doing defensively, but he would always tell us, Rob, he said, I love offense. He said, I think I'd be a heck of an offensive coordinator. Coach, every coach thinks that they're the best at everything that they do. And they think that they tutelaged every single coach that's out there as well. So the fraternity from those guys is unbelievable, but the pride is unbelievable as well. But, he would tell me that on Fridays, he would always take a peek at the other team's defense just to see if, from an offensive standpoint, where he would attack them. And you know, Cole, when Coach Bowden left and Coach Oliver became the head coach, the first thing he did was he made Jimbo Fisher his offensive coordinator. And he had a lot of respect for Jimbo early on, and I guess, you know, before most others did. And we definitely had a pulse, but we just weren't as talented. We lost too many guys, and we weren't ready for big time football at that point.
Rob, I got to ask you before we let you go, the number 3 ranked Auburn high school football team. Tell us about them.
They're good. I mean, they play great defense, and they attack. They got a lot of kids that that just tackle really well. They always put pressure on you. It's really hard to move the football on them. And they've got a quarterback that's a senior that is being recruited, has a couple of smaller Division I offers that have you know, really kind of boosted what people think about him and his play. You know, I know the bear of a region in Birmingham with, you know, when you got Thompson and you got Hoover and you've got Hewitt Trustful and those teams that, you know, have so many animals. It's hard for me to imagine this Auburn team being able to beat those guys, but we'll know a little bit more about Auburn. They actually have a bye tomorrow because Bob Jones had some issues with COVID, so they had to forfeit, and then Auburn will play, Central Phoenix City the next week. With Pat Nix and then his son Caleb. So we'll know a little bit more about where they stand after they play Central, because that's been the one team down here in this region that that has always gotten Auburn over the last several years. They've lost 2 games this year, so if they're going to get them, they need to get them now. But Auburn's a good football program. They've got a great coach, great coaching staff, a lot of community support. It's one of those places where, you know, it's quintessential high school football and just means so much to this community. Game days, they have flags on every school in Auburn that says it's game day. They honor the elementary kids every week. There's just a lot of community support, and you know, it's kind of makes you envious that you didn't get that I didn't get to have the type of that high school experience like they do here. But they're a good team. They'll be in the playoffs and they'll make a deep run.
All right, Rob, being the great teammate that you are, Cole's going to have to be quarantined there in Auburn as he's getting ready for the broadcast, part of the protocols of the SEC in college football for doing a broadcast. What are the chances that you could maybe just be a good teammate, go pick up some food and deliver it there to his hotel?
Well, that would be great. I've got COVID antibodies, so I can be around, I think, anybody right now. I feel like Superman right now. I can go anywhere. But, you know, I still wear my mask because I just want to make sure that, you know, I'm not offending people or, you know, just so that they're comfortable. But if Cole needs something in Auburn, then I will help him. I will help him get it.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate
that. You're the man, Rob. We appreciate you. And you join us every single week courtesy of the great people at Craneworks.
Yeah, Craneworks is the most trusted name for crane and equipment rental in the Southeast, and they have been for over 30 years. They carry a fleet of cranes from 2.5 tons up to 500 tons. They offer bare rental or operated cranes. Also have trained and certified operators and riggers to make sure that the job is done right. And they always have the Rental Works division that offers a full line of rental equipment for any of any machinery needs that you may have. They also offer operators for all their equipment as well. So if that's what you need to have done, then make sure that you give the big dog a call or visit them at craneworks.com.
You watching from the stadium or from home on Saturday?
I'm watching from Spain Park High School. So my daughter has a volleyball tournament. How about that?
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. Well, Rob, we always appreciate it. Be safe. Enjoy the games this weekend, notably Auburn and Kentucky. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Take care. War Eagle.
Rob Pate joining us courtesy of Craneworks on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. An easy drinking hard seltzer, just 2 carbs and 100 calories. Try it in strawberry, lime, mango, black cherry, or grab the variety pack.
This is Three Man Front.